Do not attempt to adjust your programming. You are now listening to B-Movies and Beyond.
Still don't know what this is. La 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 la.
All right. Welcome in, everyone, to B-Movies and Beyond, episode 291. We're getting so close to 300, buddy.
Will we make it by the end of the year?
What's that?
Will we make it by the end of the year?
Yeah. As long as, I mean, we're doing it weekly, right?
Oh, yeah. I forgot. It's September, not October.
Yeah. Ryan, how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing grand, Peter. How are you doing?
Well, you know, I got a little sick again.
Like a cold?
Yeah, I think so, but I don't really have, like, I just had, like, the kind of, like, little sore throat, kind of like a head cold, you know? Not too much mucus, except for when I wake up, there's a lot of crap.
Are you sure it wasn't from a certain party bus?
Well, that's what I was going to say, is that, you know, it might have had something to do with the crazy weekend that we had for Nikki and Nate's wedding.
I don't know why they invite us to things.
I don't know. Yes. I mean, but in true, like, they had, like, a superhero theme, you know, wedding, and I think in true form to that, you unleashed your alternate version of yourself, Ryan.
I did power up into Brian Bromero. Yes, I did.
Oh, man.
I was like a Megazord version of Brian Bromero. There was Hulk hands. There was Captain America shields. I was fighting off the DJ with a shield.
I was all the things I missed, man. Like, I started thinking about it. I was like, man, I was, you know, as soon as the DJ started going and we're all dancing on the floor, like, dude, I pretty much stayed on that dance floor. And I don't know what happened to a lot of different people. A lot of people, like, I don't think I saw you for most of it. I didn't see Evan. Like, everyone, I was just too busy dancing the night away.
Dude, you were dancing your little heart out. You were like Kevin Bacon in Footloose is what you were. And I was out defending the shield and everybody taking photos, just shoving it right in their face.
Dude, that shield was the hit of the wedding, I would say.
Yes, it was. The other one was the Hulk hands, and by the end of the night, they got ripped in half.
Oh, wow.
You remember, I got out of the party bus, and I think the owner of the Hulk hands was like, give those back to me. I was like, no.
Did you rip them in half?
No, they grabbed them from the finger part and ripped the top parts off, and I was like, see what you just did?
Not my fault, your fault.
And I was like, now you just allowed me to hold my beers more efficiently and still punch people with them. So,
jeez. Oh, man. Well,
congratulations, Nate and Nikki. And
yes,
thank you for the shenanigans. And, oh, dude, those, I would say you and I were probably the messiest, but I would say it's the Hulk hands because those were in the hot tub, still soaked from the night before, and beer was poured on them copious amounts of time. But, Peter, I got to say, dude, You're like not the yin to my yang. You're like, if you're going to be Bruce Banner Hulk, then I'm Red Hulk. And like, we just decided to party and
we did.
We're taking applications for B Movies and Beyond to be on your party bus for your wedding. We will have grand time.
We'll record live on it. And, you know, as long as you like, beer guzzling, I guess, which really just turns into just dumping beer on people. We're your guys.
I channeled my inner Stone Cold Steve Austin. I have been watching way too much wrestling documentaries, my friend.
I'm surprised you didn't want to wrestle. I'm surprised you didn't try to wrestle Nate.
Oh, dude, the best was Hey Nate, do you want Ryan or Brian? Too late, you got Brian.
That's awesome. Nate told me early on in the night, because he was like, are you at the same level I was for my wedding? And I was like, not yet. He's like, you better step it up. And then I think I did, because, man, we partied it up on that party bus.
Oh, dude. Just, I'll never forget. Like, Peter, there's those moments in life where something happens and it's like the most epic thing ever. And pouring beer on one of your best friends and your podcast mate and just cracking two cans together and just foam everywhere. Now I get why they do it, dude. I'm just going to do that any chance I get now. I might not be invited to parties anymore.
You might not.
Or I might just be like stuffed outside, or if I see like garbage bags on the floor, that's my spot.
Or, you know, just give some people some warning. Hey, we're going to do this, so you might want to take a couple steps back.
Oh, instead of the after warning I gave him? Well, if you don't like it, you can get off.
It's the party bus. I don't know how many times you told me, like, it's the party bus. It's okay, basically. And yes, they should leave. If they can't handle the party bus, they need to get off.
I was trying to crowd surf. We were rolling on the floor.
Oh, that nasty floor. Jeez. It was a great time. But because of, again, I think from all that, I got sick again. And so I apologize for some coughing in there, here and there. I took some Robitussin, but that shit doesn't do anything.
Peter is going to fall asleep halfway through the...
No, it's non-drowsy.
You got to take NyQuil, dude. I just start taking NyQuil, just go to sleep. It's nice.
Yeah, I don't think you're supposed to do that with a baby.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. Oh, yeah. You probably need to stay awake.
Well, I just need to be able to, wake up when, the baby needs you. So,
true.
Because I did think about that. But, I need to wake up. So Ryan, do you got a quick question for us? If not, I think I kind of got one.
Perfect.
What? How? Why? I have so many questions!
So, I just watched Thor Love and Thunder.
Okay.
I'm just curious. I mean, I know you saw it and you reviewed it, and now you had time to like really think about it. Is it a good movie? I think I did the same thing once I saw Doctor Strange 2. And I'm just kind of curious, like, like there was parts, and again, oh man, it's the same exact thing. There's parts that I liked in it. But there's also a lot of things in like, this is really going in a odd direction, and how it ended was very strange to me.
Oh yeah. Now I think about it. Was Thor Love and Thunder a good movie? I would say that they made the movie for our demographic, but was it a good movie? Yes.
See, I think that's kind of how you answered. It's a question mark at the end. Yeah, I guess. Like,
you enjoyed it, right?
I did enjoy it.
The goats were funny.
I liked the goats. I mean, I liked a lot of aspects. But then I also was a little bit confused on just the overall, like, how they were telling this story, because they had this, like, is it Korg? the rock guy.
Yeah.
Him, like, retelling. And I was getting a little bit confused on if he was really retelling the whole story or just parts of it. Like, I was losing track because there are some points where I was like, this is so, like a storyteller's portion, you know, like the things that are happening are just so outrageous. It's a storyteller just expanding on and making things so ridiculous, just for entertainment's sake.
Dude, I didn't think about that, but that's exactly what that movie is.
Yeah. And that's what was going on through certain points. You had Korg come in and do some narration, right?
Yeah.
And especially early on. And they never really, like, I don't think there was a point where there was any sign that actually officially stopped. So if that's not the case, and that's just kind of how they did the whole movie, then I'm like, I kind of get why it was a little bit of a mess and why it was so, like, to the extremes and almost like overly dumb in some parts, and some of the plot lines I feel weren't totally fleshed out, which I don't know. I feel like we got to get Taika on this show so we can ask these questions, because there wasn't a clear point where, like, all right, did the guy finish the story and now we're in present time, or did he just tell that whole story and this is what came up with, and they can just go to, you know, whenever they get to like this multiverse shit and be like, yeah, that was just some fake story that is made up. Didn't really happen. You know, like, it was so fantastical that it didn't quite feel real to me.
Okay. Now that you open my eyes to the movie being Korg telling the story, it's a great movie. Because, like you said, it's a storyteller and someone who's telling that story with a character like Korg. He is a little over the top and kind of whimsical and creates a little bit of fantasy, but you could see where in the story he's leading you to the darkness, and then it pops back up to this brightness, and you get these funny elements of Zeus with the orgies and like his little love story. Notice they touched on him being in love with another rock man and telling that story. They elaborated on that. He is a storyteller. So, and the way it ended was like, this is how it is, and this is what happened, and they lived happily ever after. And it's like, now looking at it through the eyes of Korg, it's a great movie. But if you didn't realize that and you can't understand that, it's a bad movie. Like, it doesn't fit in the realm of a comic book movie. It doesn't fit in the realm of a universe. It's enough of a stylized movie where it's a storytelling of Thor. And maybe the next one we get might be a true story of Thor, not these two, like, stories that are being told by a third character.
Yeah. it just seemed like it was almost like an out, you know, where it was like, you know, you've seen those, like, some of those, like, biopic movies where they legit know, like, this didn't happen, but it's so, you know, fantastic and just helps drive the story and make it entertaining that they put it in there anyways, but they do that, break that fourth wall and, like, say, like, that didn't really happen. Like, I almost feel like that's going to happen next Thor movie, where it's going to be drastically different. And, like, everything that's happened in Love and Thor and Thunder is like, nah, only this piece was true. You know, that's just what I, kind of how I felt at the end of it.
Well, Peter, they're starting to do that with She-Hulk. She-Hulk is starting to tell bits and pieces of the Marvel Universe from a what do they call him, like, city hero or something like that, where they don't fight the big villains, but they see it from that perspective, and they see these chunks and big pieces of this big universe putting together. So we might be seeing some storytelling movies and some epic movies from Marvel, which I'm okay. That's a nice little breakup between the two.
Yeah.
If you go in with those expectations, they're doing great.
You definitely have to go in with lower expectation in these movies.
Oh, yeah.
They, Yeah, they've been something, you know. Ever since like Shang-Chi, I feel like they lost something, you know. They've been really off, but
either off or maybe they're giving the directors a little ounce of freedom to play around and be creative.
Maybe.
Like, you watched Ms. Marvel, right?
Yeah.
It had a different tone, different settings, but it told that story.
I mean, they always... that's one of the things I think is good about Marvel, is that they know all the timelines and how they want to weave this story, and there's certain elements that they have to hit upon. They can't, move away from that unless it makes sense, you know? But they let them do, like, their own little tones for each of these movies, you know? Like, that's what was fun about Ant-Man, was, like, that was, like, a heist movie, you know? You could say that Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness was kind of like the first kind of like horror type movie, you know? And, each one has their own little tones to it. And they're bringing that also into the series as well.
That's a good multiverse. It doesn't all need to be the same. DC's trying to create this, you know, I'm using DC as an example, but they're trying to set this tone across their entire universe. Now Marvel realizes that their universe is now a multiverse, and it could be different. Everything can be different, and everything is awesome.
Everything is awesome.
Everything is awesome.
If somehow they bring Legos into this, it's going to be amazing.
So. Well, dude, great question, because it did open my eyes to the latest Marvel movies. We have a horror Marvel movie. We have a storytelling Marvel movie. Now, next up, what's next? Oh, a very feminist Marvel movie, right?
Yeah.
So if I know that's what it is and I go in with those expectations, I won't be an asshole about it.
The fans will, though. They'll keep on review bombing that. Like, these Marvel fans, they really have issues with any females that get their own movies. So,
dude, it's our demographic. But that's a nice lead into we got trailers.
Mm-hmm.
Here are some exciting coming attractions from Movies and Beyond.
Some of these are exciting. Some of them are not so exciting for our trailers.
I think it goes kind of up and down. First one is Mandalorian. Mandalorian season 3. We saw the pilot in Book of Boba Fett.
I haven't finished Book of Boba Fett, which now I feel like watching that trailer, like, I think I missed something. Potentially.
Yeah, that was, like I said, the other part, the later part of a Book of Boba Fett's kind of like a Mandalorian 2.5.
Yeah.
Let's watch it.
Yeah, I need to finish that, because I'm like right in that part where I'm like, hey, this is really cool. And I don't know. I something else caught my eye and I started watching that instead. But I do need to go back and finish it.
Oh, man, this is different for you for sure, because I watched that trailer and I was like, dude, Mando and Grogu are going on some adventures.
Yeah. I guess we can't really get into it. I don't even – if anyone has only finished season 2, they're going to be confused by this one and didn't watch Boba Fett. Or if you haven't seen any of the seasons and you just watched this trailer for some reason – you're probably going to be really confused, but things I'm excited about, though, more bounty hunters, more Mandalorians. I'm curious about how that's going to happen, and especially with how the events of the last time we saw Mando, you know, he was, I guess, excommunicated. I don't know. Again, too much. I don't know. It looks
what you're cool telling me is in. Disney spoiled the shit out of the series for you if you didn't watch anything. So
if you yes. Like, why didn't they say, like, hey, if you've seen The Mandalorian seasons 1 and 2, it's not enough. You need to go watch this. Go watch The Mandalorian 2.5.
Yep. Well, I've seen it all, and I think it looks fantastic. So, Peter, catch up, and I think you'll be up to speed.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead, Ryan.
Next one is Tales of the Jedi. I didn't know this was coming out because D23 just released a shit ton of Star Wars content for us, which we were asking for. Is it enough to catch up with Marvel? No. But this is a Clone Wars 6-part series, right? There's going to be 6 episodes, miniseries about Ahsoka.
I don't think all of it. Definitely not all of it. It's from the creators of, you know, the Bad Batch, you know, the Clone Wars, all that, and it's, I think, 6 short stories, which, you know, when I watch this trailer, it remind me of Diabolical for the Boys, where you can just take little elements that were, you know, that you want to expand upon from Star Wars. Like, there's like a Ahsoka short in there where you kind of see where she comes from, like Count Dooku. Yeah, he's in there. Like it looked really cool and kind of interesting to see these characters, you know, in some short stories, you know, in a new light, basically. So I'm totally on board. I can't wait for that, which I've started long time ago to watch all the Clone Wars, and like, I'm like, these are really good, but there's so many that I just kind of like, I stop and I go off to something else. Mm-hmm. And I also heard like the Bad Batch is amazing. Like, mm-hmm. like there's that animation, like that team is really good. So
that's Dave Filoni has been part of that for a long time. So
yeah,
he's a good storyteller, but you know, he's not like Korg. He's like Dave Filoni. So
yeah. So that I am looking forward to, because I think that might be fun just because they're short stories. I don't have to know that much, you know?
Bing.
Yeah. Or
bingo. Whatever. But that's what will keep me interested in this, because they're short stories and I don't have this. I have this to play around with, not this or this. Yeah. I don't have. Absolutely. I can do this, not this.
Yeah. I think the viewers got what you're putting down,
and the listeners too.
I'm sure.
Hey, I want to save this one for last, because I want to talk about this one since it goes with D23, and apparently I'm supposed to watch Pinocchio, but The Little Mermaid just released the first live action trailer, and I saw some iconic scenes. I saw it underwater, and then we saw Ariel. What are your thoughts?
Not necessary. My wife and I watched this, I think, that drunken night. I'm pretty sure it was the end of that drunken night where she was like, oh, look at this. And we put it on. We're just like, why? Why is this? You know? I guess she kind of sounded similar to the original, but I just don't understand why Disney has this need to recreate all these classics, but they're not putting any like unique spin on them or anything. Like
Peter, their unique spin is that she's a young black girl underwater. That's Disney.
It's live action. That's the spin too. Like, it makes no sense to me. And I just, it's a waste of everyone's time.
Quit trying to make your classics controversial. If they didn't need to point it out who the actress was, and just let it be what it is, man. I mean, if you just let this movie be what it is, have a Korg spin to it or a storytell, that's your spin, dude. You don't have to do a shot by shot, like, here's a recreation of the classic, but the only thing different is we have a little black girl with dreads. Like, Disney, that's not creative. What you're doing is creating unnecessary backlash and controversy. And for the record, I don't care what color my characters are in live action remakes of Disney movies, you know? For all that matter, and dude, people have literally blown up about, oh, well, she can't have dark skin because she's underwater. Her pigmentation doesn't matter. Shut up. Shut up. It's a freaking movie about a girl who's a mermaid, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's the other part. She's also a mermaid.
Yeah. You know? And, you know, Jeremy and I were talking about this too. And he's like, why do you think they did that? I said, well, Jeremy, she has dreadlocks. He goes, does that make sense underwater? And I said, yeah. Think about it. That is easier for the CGI artist to make dreadlocks instead of refined CGI hair. I was like, it's a story. Let her have dreadlocks. Who cares? And if she has dread type of hair, or, you know, as they say, ethnic kind of hair, like, oh my God, people are going nuts. But who cares? Who cares? Who cares?
Yeah, I don't care, and I don't care about this movie, so I'm gonna have to watch it probably at some point, because I'm sure Gianna's gonna want to watch it. But
dude, you're gonna watch this movie more every other week. You're gonna be like, well, I need to review The Little Mermaid again.
Maybe. I don't know, because here's the thing, like, every other like live action Disney movie, I think the only one I've actually ever sat through and finished was the Jungle Book one. But it was also
one, dude.
Really? The Jungle Book I actually enjoyed, and it was different enough. Mm-hmm. Like, it, and so I think I enjoyed that. I tried watching The Lion King, that photorealistic one. I was like, this is exactly like the other one. I just watched the cartoon. It's better.
Yep.
We put on Aladdin at one point, because when we first got Disney Plus. Holy crap, that was awful.
Terrible movie, dude.
Like, the singing alone and them trying to recreate it, just awful. So I turned that off. Like, we have not finished any one of them. The only I'm curious about Mulan, because I always thought that one could actually work.
But they left out the dragon.
I know. People got upset about that, or you guys about it, but
and then Beauty and the Beast, I thought, was like one of the only really good ones.
Well, and even okay, Beauty and the Beast, still though, like, okay, I finished that one. It's not necessary though. Mm-hmm. All they did was add in one new song, and that was the only change to it. Oh, and they made Cinderella. I don't think I watched Cinderella either.
Well, I have a feeling Peter's going to have a household meeting and be like, okay, if we watch Disney classics, they are cartoons and cartoons only.
Well, and luckily, you know, there's going to be a point, right? You know, kids nowadays, like even my youngest right now, there's a real potential that she's only going to know these are the classics, right? Oh, all these live actions are the classics. It's like, what, cartoons? I don't know. That won't happen, because I won't show her those.
They're making Snow White, and I, you know,
yeah,
who cares? But dude, I'm excited to talk about this trailer, because I watched all four of these just now, and The Curse of Bridge Hollow. Are you excited for this?
A little bit. Did it remind you of something?
Give me a hint. I think it reminded Peter of something so bad he's choking and died over there.
Sorry.
Looking for the mute button.
Dude, okay, you had Halloween decorations coming to life. What other trailer did we just do last week?
Spirit.
Yes. I saw this trailer and I was like, holy shit, I think Netflix might beat him to it. You know?
Peter. What? Okay, I want to get this off my chest. I think that the age of B movies is coming back. That to me is a B movie thing. We get a theme with Spirit Halloween movies, and then we get the knockoffs by all these different streaming services. We're getting the same movie, but we're getting different variants of the same movie, which are the knockoffs or the B-rated movies. It's up. This is a whole new thing for the podcast. We get to decide which one's the A-list movie and which one's the B-list movie.
That's true, but you know, so often though, it's I feel it's the one that gets out first is usually the best one.
Well, I mean, that was always that wasn't, because remember, Transformers would come out, but like a week later, Transmorphers would be out. Or and before
is better.
Yeah, Transmorphers. Yeah.
So this is coming October 14th. When is Spirit?
You know what? As you look that up, what I like about this is, dude, this is Marlon Wayans. The beginning of the trailer, I was like, man, are we going to get boring Marlon Wayans? But then midway through, I was like, nope. Classic scary movie, like jump scare, frantic, trying to kill things, Marlon Wayans, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it looks like it's a family film, but I like those. I mean, especially during Halloween. Like, if you just give me a fun story where they're doing the great thing like they do like in animated like superhero shows, you know, like Ninja Turtles, right? They always fight robots, right? And stuff like that. So that they get away with the violence. And so this, all right, we're just fighting like some stuff, you know, decorations basically. So we get to be kind of brutal. We get to rip off arms and all that because it's fake. It doesn't matter. And you're still kid friendly. So hey, I'm looking forward to it.
Me too. Did you notice some of the killer robot zombies? Were they the killer clowns from outer space?
They did look very similar. I got that vibe too. I got that vibe.
Oh,
the other thing right I thought there, though. Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
That right there kind of sold me on the whole trailer because I was like, that's a killer clown. That's a killer clown. But.
Yeah, okay. We're getting into that time of year though, where we're going to get a lot of, you know, the various Halloween, you know, movies like this. So I'm looking forward to it. I did look up Spirit. It comes out 3 days before the Curse of Bridge Hollow, October 11th. So close Peter, enough
for the episode after those. You and I need to pick one or the other, and we review. Compare and spoil.
Okay. I think we're gonna have to watch both. It'd be interesting to see which one's actually, you know, more fun, right?
I agree.
The one that's just going straight to Netflix or this one that's gonna go to the theater. So
what? Oh, the Spirit's going to theater? He's so confused, he's choked up about it.
Sorry.
Hurt.
Yeah. Pretty sure that's going to theaters first.
Love it. Well, that's our trailers. We got some we got some news coming up.
Yeah, there was, I didn't watch this, but there is a new trailer for Willow, and I don't know. I saw enough of that first trailer from Willow that I don't need to see another one. It looks perfect. Good.
Yep. All right.
News.
We have, let's just say David Arbor is in the news a lot. But
what? Real quick, have you noticed? Have you looked at our notes on Google Docs, Ryan?
What part?
Have you noticed anything strange with any of them? I don't know if it's updating, but like, for whatever reason, I'm like going through it. And I guess I'm hearing my microphone button because it starts recording everything I'm saying and typing it out just randomly into sections of the notes. So if you see that, you know, that's why. You're like, hey, I didn't type that in there.
I see that right there. That's awesome.
Yeah. That was fun. I was like, what the hell is happening? So, Ryan, you put all these notes in there. Why don't you take it away, buddy?
All right, man. So first one, James Cameron says 3D movies are not as dead as Hollywood believes. Shut up, James Cameron.
Yeah, I think they're dead enough.
You're not bringing this one back, dude.
The gimmick's kind of over. I mean, Is Avatar going to be in 3D?
Well, by the sounds of it, it looks like it is. But I haven't seen anything promoting this to be in 3D.
Yeah. When was the last 3D movie you actually saw, Ryan? Can you remember?
No. No, not at all. Oh, wait. I saw Star Wars The Force Awakens in 3D in Japan.
That was in 3D?
Yeah, dude, not only was it in 3D, but it was in English, but it had Japanese subtitles.
Did it bring anything to the table?
No.
I can't. Yeah. I don't. It's not necessary. Like, the fact that I can't even remember the last time I saw a 3D movie, the only thing that sticks out in my mind is one time I tried to go see Transformers Revenge of the Fallen, and it wasn't the 3D version, yet they started to play the 3D version, and so it was all fucked up, and I was like, what the fuck? And so we had to sit there like another like 15 minutes while they straightened everything out, and we got our normal version.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, did 3D, and I've said this before, like, the 3D gimmick to me is just a gimmick. I don't see things in 3D. I see the screen pushed back. I don't see characters jumping out at me. I don't get the experience. So me, it just never hit with me. I mean, dude, even Avatar is like, yeah, I think I get it. But reading this article, that they're not going to be made in 3D.
Yet he's saying it's 3D is not dead yet.
Well, he said, although Cameron didn't reveal how 3D technology would be utilized in the sequels. So,
I mean, unless he's just talking about the capturing, you know, the motion capture. I mean, I guess you could argue that's three dimensional, how they're rendering it, you know, but I don't know. I think it's pretty much dead. I'm not going to say I would never go see another 3D movie, especially horror movies. I always thought that was always fun because they would do the, you know, stupid things. Or it's the movies that understand that they're in 3D. Like, did you ever see Harold and Kumar in 3D, the Christmas movie?
No, I never saw that one in 3D.
Oh, like, that was actually kind of fun. Again, stupid gimmick, but nonstop, just trying to throw shit at you, you know? Like, they're taking advantage of the 3D gimmick, so that's what's fun.
Peter, the last 3D movie ever made was Disney's Far From the Tree in November 24th of 2021.
What the hell is that?
Don't know. It looks like some Pixar movies, but nothing like Despicable Me, Minion Mayhem, Toy Story Toons, Partysaurus Rex.
I don't know.
Like, these are all like C-rated, like made for TV movies, but not
most 3D movies I feel like I've seen, I have never walked out saying, man, I'm so glad I saw that was made in 3D. Pretty much everything's been that did not add anything. If anything, it just made the action worse.
Oh, I'm a liar, Peter. Minions was the last digital 3D movie released
this year.
Yeah,
didn't see it, so
yep,
whatever.
Anyway, moving on,
let's get to the David Harbour movies.
We're gonna rename this segment David Harbour. Dude, Thunderbolts was released, the cast. Did you see any of this? I loved that we are getting a Thunderbolts movie. It seems like we're getting Young Avengers, Thunderbolts, but I want to watch Thunderbolts over Young Avengers because I like these characters already, you know?
Yeah.
I like Bucky. I like the Black Widow. I like the U.S. agent, Taskmaster. And David Arbor's character, the Soviet guy, I forgot his name.
The Red Baron? No. It's not Red Baron, is it?
Red Bear or something. He might be the Red Baron.
Maybe. Yeah, I liked him too, though.
And then I always forget her name as well, but it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus, and then you get Ghost from Ant-Man. Mm-hmm. So I think this is a good cast, dude. I think this is awesome. Valentina Allegra de Fonte. Yeah. And Red Guardian. That's the two.
Red Guardian. Not Red Baron.
Red Bear.
Yeah, Red Bear. Yeah, I like the casting. I'm looking forward to it. I that's going to be fun.
More David Arbor news, and this is strange, but Gran Turismo movie cast David Arbor in starring role. So they're making a movie about a car simulation game where there's barely any humans and it's all cars.
I hope it's just him simulating. He's in the simulator.
Yeah, I hope he's just like played PlayStation.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, some of these ideas, it's just so weird.
It's like The Last of Us, like that's coming out and all of us are like, what's going on with that? That's weird.
Yeah, I don't know. Get new ideas, guys.
Get new ideas. Like Stranger Things, David Arbor is an ass-kicking Santa in the first Violent Night poster.
Is it supposed to be Violent Night? Or is it supposed to be, like, when I read that, I thought it was supposed to be, like, Silent Night.
Stranger Things' David Arbor is a ruthless Kris Kringle in the first poster for Universal Pictures' upcoming action comedy film, Violent Night.
Okay. Well, you know, I am totally on board with that because this reminds me of Silent Night, and that's a lot of fun, especially the second one.
Was that the one with Goldberg?
No, that was Santa Slays, right?
Yeah.
That's good. I mean, I love it. I love when they get violent and they put it into the holiday season.
Perfect. You know, it's just an extension of, which is weird. Think about it. We're getting more family-friendly Halloween movies, but we're getting more violent Christmas movies.
That is weird. That is interesting. Because Halloween is supposed to be violent, so they want to go family-friendly to make, you know, not scare the kids, and Christmas is supposed to be lighthearted, and there's enough lighthearted films, but then you go violent. It's great.
I like it. Switch it up. That's good storytelling right there.
Does it say when this is coming out? Do we know that?
Let's see. It says only in theaters, December 2nd. It's a theater movie.
Yeah, as well as it should be. But like, we're thinking like this year, huh?
Yeah.
That's awesome. I like these little surprises, you know, that just come out of nowhere. I had no idea this was a thing.
Dude, Tommy Wirkola, Dead Snow, directed the upcoming film, which was written by Patrick Casey and Josh Miller from Sonic the Hedgehog. And it's under the 87 North banner, which is they made that movie Nobody with Bob Odenkirk.
Which I loved.
Dude, this is gonna be great. We're gonna have a fantastic holiday season of movies, Peter.
Yeah, I think so. That's cool. All right, December 2nd. I know where I'm gonna be.
Batman.
Hope we get a trailer soon.
Me too. Batman speaks silence on Batgirl cancellation. Oh, I'm sorry, Michael Keaton. So basically, he's saying he's not sure if Batman's going to return. Like, they're going to have him in The Flash, but he's not sure if it's going to come around. But basically, he said, I think it's a good business decision, and I'm going to assume it was a good one. I don't really know. Lame reasoning, Batman. That's not a very Bruce Wayne thing to say, dude.
Well, it is a business decision. I don't know. It's just...
They need to make a Batman, dude. And... I don't know why they're trying to make movies about his belt or Alfred.
Those are good movies.
Did you ever watch that Teen Titans where Robin's ready for his movie and they're like doing everything else besides him?
Yeah, the belt, Batmobile. Yeah, it's fantastic.
I want to see Batman, dude.
I know. And I'm... Everything I hear is that Batgirl's actually like it was coming along nicely, and even some early test screenings were saying it was good. But I don't know. That's just it was a weird deal. But that's Warner Brothers now. They're just weird. I mean, they've always been weird. But
don't get it. Yeah. This last one's interesting. People are starting to find merch for a lot of upcoming Marvel and Sony movies. Some people were showing some merch from Into the In the Spider-Verse or Return the Spider-Verse or Welcome
across the Spider-Verse.
The Spider-Verse.
Yeah.
But this one I'm excited about was See It. Leaked merch potentially reveals first look at live action MODO. Your body, what's up? As long as we're doing it weekly, right? Yeah, yeah. You know. Oh, wait.
That was what I said. Yeah. I wonder if the link still works. Does the link still work?
Yeah, the link works. Check a look at this merch of in this photo of MODOK. If anybody doesn't know who MODOK is, he's a giant head, and in his TV series, he's Patton Oswalt, and like it when you see this character, he's Patton Oswalt. But on this merch, they kind of MCU'd him up, and I think they found a good way to balance it out instead of putting a giant CGI face on a weird alien looking character like Krang, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's a pretty cool picture.
Oh yeah. Look at that.
Yeah.
Breaking news.
Yep. The fact if that's accurate, it's really true. I guess there's some kind of confirmation that it might be authentic, but, we'll see. I'm getting really excited for that one just because of the fact that they keep on saying it's something that is just so out of this world and so different from all the other Ant-Man movies that I'm really looking forward to that one. But I'm also trying to keep my expectations low because everything else has really sucked since, you know, this Phase 5, right? Phase 5?
We're going to be in Phase 5.
Oh, okay, so Phase 4. Not so hot. Hopefully Phase 5 is fantastic.
Yeah, Phase 5 looks to be shaping up pretty good. If Michael Pena is Luis in narrating Ant-Man Quantumania, would you be okay with that?
Yeah, I would be. It'd be fun.
It'd be a really quick movie, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would be. Just nice. Speak about real quick. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Do it.
Do we got to talk about it yet?
What? No.
Oh. I was going to tell you how clean my...
You need to tell them about our podcast.
How clean our podcast is. Mm-hmm. You need to... Whenever you shower, you need to get your phone up on in the ledge and just play B-Movies and Beyond, and we'll get squeaky clean with you. We'll leather you up with awesome news, some trailers, some things to recommend. And usually our podcasts are about an hour and a half, sometimes 2 to 3 hours. So if you like long showers, just continue just listening to us. Yeah.
Should we invest in towels so they can dry off with us?
No, we want you soaking wet.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That's our next sponsor is the one who wants... Oh, B-Movies and Beyond towels would be fantastic. You're a smart exactly thinker.
Thank you.
You're a smart thinker.
Brainstorming live.
Brainstorming live. So soon enough, wear a towel, B-Movies and Beyond, and support us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all the podcasts, pretty much all the podcasts, B-Movies and Beyond, at B-Movies Beyond, and what else, Peter? YouTube? Watch us. Yep. You can see our handsome faces.
It's true. You can see Ryan's measurement styles. Yeah, go to our website, bmoviesbeyond.com. That links to everything you need.
So buy our shit.
Yes.
Oh, I don't have the other one loaded up.
Oh, no. What are we going to do?
We're going to just pause for a minute for what we like to call the potatoes. Or the meat. It's the fucking meat.
Fucking meat. Fucking meat.
Fucking meat.
Oh, man. All right, I'm gonna go first. Okay,
deal.
I alluded to this. I guess not really alluded, but I recommended this film last week when Aaron was on the show, Fall. And I guess I did allude to it that I might review it in the future. Well, the future is now. I know. And I'm going to review Fall, starring Jeffrey Dean Morgan as the father. And then who else is in this film? I guess I should have pulled this up before I was going to start talking. Grace Caroline Curry, I think that's how you say that. She's okay. Becky. Virginia Gardner, she's Shiloh. And that's pretty much all you need to know. And Jeffrey Dean Morgan is the dad.
Are there literally three people in this movie?
I mean, there's a couple others, but for the most part, yes, that is it. I mean, and it really is. It's Becky and Shiloh. That is majority of this film. You have a couple random just people that just kind of show up here and there for, you know, maybe a minute or so. You know, besides those two characters, the next person that probably has the most screen time is Jeffrey Dean Morgan. And then after that, it's this the husband, Mason Gooding, so who played Dan Connor, married to Becky Connor. And so
wait.
What? Becky Connor, that's the girl in here in the movie.
Yeah, but if it's Dan Connor and Becky Connor, aren't those from Roseanne?
That is weird, and that's like father and daughter. Mm. I wonder if there's something there. Anywho, Fall is the story of two best friends, Becky and Hunter. They find themselves at the top of a 2,000-foot radio tower.
Are they best friends?
Are best friends, not lesbians.
There you have it, Olivia.
They're best friends. Yes. They're not lesbians.
And I know I was very skeptical of this movie. When we first watched the trailer, I was just like, how are they going to pull this off? I'm not sure if this is going to work out. And I got to say, like, it's labeled as a thriller, and I was thrilled. I mean, they did this in the trailer, so I'm not going to be spoiling anything. But it starts off where they're rock climbing outside. It's Hunter, Becky, and I guess this is the spoiler part, Becky's husband, and Becky's husband falls off. Yes. So that's the dynamic. You know, Hunter's trying to get her best friend back out there, you know, conquer her fears. You cannot stay locked up just drinking your sorrows away. That's also Jeffrey Dean Morgan. He's trying to do the same thing, like, you know, like get his daughter, break her free of this sorrow, which, I mean, that's tough, man. That's really tough. And so that's why they're doing this. This is their epic thing. Hunter is this, you know, action babe YouTube star where she, you know, gets to put the tits out and everything and go do some extreme shit, right?
Oh, okay.
And so this is what they're going to go do, which climb this 2,000-foot radio tower, which is rusted as shit. You can tell, like as they're climbing it up, you know, like the director did a great job of showing, like, this thing is not that secure. And then you know what happens, right? They get stuck. Ladders come apart. They're stuck at the very tippy top. And that's the rest of the film, man. It's them trying to survive on this, trying to figure out ways, which you wouldn't think there is that many ways to potentially try to get out of this scenario. But they came up with a handful of them that surprised me, that kept it moving in a good direction. Also, just, you know, the interactions between Becky and Hunter were good in their dynamic. And, you know, some of it's very predictable, obviously. Like, it's, you know, the, you know, issues that issues that they might have between friends are a bit predictable.
Do they become lesbians?
Yes, on the tower. Just kidding. <Sure. laughs> Yeah. This is directed by Scott Mann, but oh dang it. Who? Someone is related, helped do 47 Meters Down, which you can see why it is. I would say you can tell that how it's heavily influenced by that movie. Dang, I don't know who's connected to that. Maybe it's just a producer. I don't think it's Scott Mann. You saw 47 Meters Down, right? The shark movie?
No, I saw the movie with Blake Lively.
No, The Shallows. That's really good, too. Yeah. 47 Meters Down has Mandy Moore.
Oh, wait, yeah. I have seen that. That's a long time ago, right?
Yeah, not too long ago, but it is really good. Anywho, you could see there was definitely some influences on things that happened that were like that happened in 47 Meters Down that kind of relate to this movie. But I gotta say, like I said, it brings the thrill. I didn't think I was gonna enjoy it as much as I did. And just the idea of just getting stuck up on this small platform, 2,000 feet, and they would like do these shots just looking down. You feel the tension, right? You're like, ooh, like it makes you nervous. And they would also do these, like one of the things, like since this hunter is doing like these video YouTube channel things, like she had a drone. So they had this big old drone, flight, going all around, and you just see, you feel the seclusion, just how stuck you are from this. And it's not a found footage film, by the way. What was your question, Ryan?
If she has a drone, why didn't she just send the drone to the ground and find a human?
Maybe that was one of the things they tried doing. But drones take power. Also, it was really far away from a diner or something. Things happen, Ryan.
Where was their cell phone if they were on a cell phone tower?
No service. It was way too high up.
They're on the tower.
The tower. Did I say it was a cell phone tower? Radio towers. Different. It's very different.
Why didn't they tune into my radio station and call in and been like, yo, we're stuck on this tower. Like, can you stop talking about the Broncos? And
so they didn't bring a handheld. And a radio up there. I don't know. Anyways, there's something a little bit for everyone. You got two attractive women. You got Jeffrey Dean Morgan. You got heights. You got drones. You got ladder climbing. What else do you need for a great movie?
Lesbians.
I didn't. Who knows?
Oh, cool. All right. I am in.
Yeah. So,
is it a long movie? Like, I can't imagine them being up there for.
No. It actually probably is a little bit longer than what it needs to be, like, hour and 47 minutes. So, not too terribly long. And I think that's just because there was one scene where I feel like, you probably could have cut this down. Like, vultures. Oh, that's all I'll say. Vultures.
Oh, why don't they grab the vulture's legs and fly down with them?
The one thing they didn't try. Oh, man.
I would have grabbed. Yeah, like I think the vulture could hold your weight, right?
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know. I do have one question. I don't know, maybe this is giving out too much, but is this a thing? Do you think you can unscrew a light bulb and then stick like the end of your plug to something and get power from that the inside of where the light bulb goes? Like, I know that like, there's gotta be something, but could you actually make a full connection to actually get power?
Yeah, you can, because if you think about like a light bulb socket, like here's the round part. Yeah. The edge is the positive part, and then the center point is the negative. So when you are like the ground,
you could do the prongs and set up so you're doing the full connection, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. That was one of the things that I was like, I'm not too sure if this is accurate or not, but I'll go with it. So that's fall. You can
were they trying to charge the drone with it?
Okay. It is out there to buy VOD, so I recommend it. I just like last week, I still recommend it, and it's a fun watch. If you liked 47 Meters Down, I think you'll like this. Yeah, you'll like it. There you go. Yeah, it's good. What do you got, Ryan?
I'm getting a lot of news about this movie, so I do want to eventually see it. And if it's not too long, I wouldn't mind stopping watching wrestling documentaries to watch this movie.
Yeah, I think you could probably, put in a quick hour 47 in there in between.
All right.
Your wrestling.
I want to review Day Shift.
All right. I watched this. This is the other movie I watched.
We didn't, both you or I didn't review this because Aaron was on the show and he didn't want us to. Out of respect, we gave him respect. And then in return, we didn't spoil bodies for you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I have not seen.
Which is fantastic still. I mean, bodies still has me thinking. But Day Shift is, it's aware of what it is.
Mm-hmm.
The directors finally know, like, they're like, they're what, the director of John Wick or the team that brought you John Wick?
Yeah.
But it's a movie about Jamie Foxx, who is you find out right away, he's a vampire hunter. Like, and they collect vampires' teeth for money. And there's like this, what's the word?
Union.
Union, thank you. The union. And you get paid more for being in the union, but you can't break any of the rules or the code or anything. Well, you find out early that he has, and they won't let him back in there. But he's down on his luck, and he's trying to get back with his see his baby girl and get some money because his current wife is divorcing him, splitting up, and moving across country and trying to sell the house, right? Mm-hmm. So that's his motivation. So he teams with freaking Snoop Dogg, and Snoop Dogg gets him back in the union, but everybody in the union is trying to, be against him. So I forgot the director's name, but the director of the union or the main guy was basically like, yeah, you could be back. We're going to give you a trial run. And he sets him up for failure. And his failure is Dave Franco.
Yeah. Well, it also puts him on the day shift because it's not as profitable as the night shift.
Yeah. So the good vampires come out at night. And what I like about this movie is you get a variation of vampires. You get like fresh vampires or vampires that have been vampires for X amount of time and they become more valuable. So it adds to the hunting element of the movie. Like the union, they want to hunt aged vampires because it's a higher kill or a higher reward, while fresh vampires aren't. But what you're starting to find out in this is Dave Franco has read the book through and through. So he knows, he's adapted to how vampires have adapted as well. Meanwhile, we're starting to find out there's hybrid vampires and they're starting to blend with each other and work with each other and whatnot. But did we ever figure out the motive behind the vampires?
Yeah. They just want the land back, basically.
Oh, yeah. They're trying to buy land.
Yeah.
And try and control more of,
yeah.
Yeah, okay. So
yeah.
The union teams up Jamie Foxx with Dave Franco. And what kind of pairing would you say? It's not like a Batman and Robin. It's more of like, it's like he doesn't follow the rules. He knows the rules, but he doesn't follow them. Well, Dave Franco is by the book. and everything that he does is by the book. But that's his motive to kick him out of the union as well. That's why they're paired together. And Franco just wants to just have a desk job. He doesn't want to be out in the field either.
I thought he did want the field.
No, he just wanted to move up in the desk job. And then throughout the movie, he starts to want to be in the field.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I guess I was confused by that because I thought like there was a part with the main director of the union, you know, saying like this is the only way that you're going to be able to move up, you know. But I guess I guess he meant with the office, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, because I think her name is Janice, but he's like, oh, do you want Janice's job or something?
Yeah.
This is how you do it. So each one of these characters has their own story arc. The one that I wanted to learn more about was Snoop Dogg, because he just kind of came in with Snoop Dogg and Snoop Dogged out, you know, but he was just so mysterious, but that's kind of how you have to cast Snoop Dogg. You can't give him a major role where he has a lot of talking lines. Like he's a one-liner type of actor at all times. Jamie Foxx is a more dynamic one, and James Franco, dude, I've never really been a fan of him, but he really held his own. Yeah. They say James.
Yeah.
James is no longer in Hollywood. Dave is taking the place of his brother, but hopefully in a good way.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah. Just don't let him teach you how to act, apparently. Yeah. That's James. I really like the dynamic between the two. Trying to see Dave Franco, learn the ropes, you know? I thought that was kind of cool. And also this, you know, their bonding, you know, I thought was fun to watch as well.
As Evan would say, this movie was fun and it realized what it was, you know. You start seeing vampire killing. And this is in a world where people don't realize there's vampires. You'll find out Jamie Foxx's wife is like, oh yeah, you're a vampire killer. And he's like, yeah. And she's like, oh, okay. But here's Peter. This gets me every single time when they cast a little girl and she has a lot of talking scenes and she's terrible at it. She was a terrible actress. She ruined a lot of scenes for me because like they tried to make her quick and witty, but she just came off as stupid. Like they should have cast Jake Lloyd more than her.
Yeah. I didn't have too many issues with her.
Come on, the car chase scene where she's sitting there playing Mario Kart, nothing happened, and she's
that
like,
was just dumb. That was just a dumb scene. That's all. It's not her fault. That was just kind of I understood the gimmick and what they were trying to do. I just thought, whatever. It's, you know, there's the whole like earmuff thing. All right, hang on, don't pay attention to what daddy's doing. Earmuffs, you know, like it's just one of those silly gimmicks, and I kind of liked how they were showing what she was doing in Mario Kart and then what was actually happening in, you know, real life. Yeah. You know, it was almost very similar, which I thought that part was amusing. And I thought the way they shot that and edit together was entertaining. But yes, just her not being totally oblivious to like what is going on around here. Yeah, that's the dumbest thing ever.
It was silly. Well, that leads me to the point of this movie. Again, it's self-aware of itself and it was silly. You know, it was over the top action, vampires pulling teeth, chopping off heads, reanimation, lots of vomit, lots of blood, black blood, lots of John Wick style kills, but we're just over the top. The one thing I'll say is if they're going to make a John Wick 4 and it's going to be anything like this, I'm out on John Wick. Like, this doesn't translate to the John Wick world. And 3 was kind of over the top, but if they get to the point where it's Day Shift, then I'm out.
Sorry. You're saying if they bring in vampires, you're no longer in for John Wick?
Or car chase scenes with little girls with earmuffs that are in Mario Kart.
What if instead of a little girl, it's a dog
playing Mario Kart? I'm in.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts? I mean, is there anything I didn't cover without spoiling it?
No, like No, what I would say is that you already said it. It's a fun movie. This is a fun, dumb movie. I thought the action was fantastic, and that's what I came to see with this film. I want to see some fantastic action from it, and it was a little bit over the top because of the fact of what they could do with vampires. So that was the other fun part. Like, there's a whole, like, the middle fight scene with, you know, when they go into this house is, I think, phenomenal.
Oh, with the brothers?
Yeah, with the brothers, yeah. And then the universe as well that they created. Like, that was just scratching the surface, in my opinion, of this film. You know, like, they rattled across, like, all these different, like, breeds of vampires. And then, like, just the different levels of, like, this tooth is worth this much and blah, 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 you mentioned. The idea that there's a whole nother shift, a night shift, like, I would totally watch a sequel to this. That's pretty much what I'm getting at with this is, like, you just go in there, you get to shut off your brain and just have a really good time watching Jamie Foxx beat the shit out of some vampires, why Dave Franco does some weird stuff. And you do really have to shut off your brain because there's parts where some of the transitions in the character arc would do like this massive weird jump.
Yeah.
And as you know, at the time I was just going, well, that's kind of odd, but who cares? They're back to fighting. Yeah. I don't care. So
it's a good fighting movie. Mm-hmm. And it has a lot of gun action and, you know, stabbing and like kill shots and like head, you know, like just really calling Call of Duty where they, like, stab them and they're like, oh yeah, that was a cool kill. Like just stuff like that, you know?
Yeah. I mean, seriously though, like, I mean, if they made us another movie, if they did like Day Shift 2 or Night Shift, whatever, like, wouldn't you watch it?
I would watch Night Shift, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I was invested enough, and the things that they did with this are, you know, were enjoyable. So I'm on board if they hopefully they get a chance. Like, again, like, just I think Netflix has gotten on a roll lately, especially this year. I feel like, you know, like the Adam Project, I thought was fantastic. You know, this movie, like, I mean, they all had like little issues, you know, but for the most part, dude, I'd watch every single one of those movies in a movie theater, right?
They're and doing I would, good. Yeah, I would yeah, watch this in a movie theater.
Yeah, and I would leave like satisfied. I think that's the biggest thing. I'm satisfied with these films. Even the Gray Man too, you know, like that was something like, but again, the thing you got to do with each of these is that, you know, you're going into a, you know, a popcorn film where you just gotta shut down and just enjoy it. You know, and they don't do anything super weird that just changes like the ending of the film. Like that was the other thing that Netflix was doing really a lot, which was weird, was that I just never felt like any of these films really ended. All these movies, they stay true from start to finish. So
in the end, yeah. Well, yeah. This one ended, but it didn't. But like, you got a satisfying ending. Like, if this didn't do well, I was satisfied with the ending of this.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah, satisfying. So
cool.
Yeah.
Well, I recommend it.
Got two recommendations. It's probably our first ever on this show,
dude. Well, I haven't watched Fall, but I keep on hearing good things. And dude, you gotta watch Bodies, Bodies, Bodies. I think I heard rumblings that it's coming out next week. So
for VOD.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I was kind of wondering. Like, I like that they're giving these, like, you know, a short theatrical release. You know, give them a chance. Like, I think they deserve to be on the big screen. But you know, people like me, I'm not able to get out to the movie theaters as much as I would like to. So
A24, send Peter a private copy of Bodies, Bodies, Bodies.
Please and thank you. Let's move on.
Yes! Yes!
Oh.
Oh, God.
I'll have what she's having.
I like how it just kind of gets quiet there at the end.
What should I recommend? You know, this is one that you already have done. You reviewed this already, but Prey. Mm. I got around to watching Prey myself this past weekend, or no, 2 weekends ago.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, damn, it was good. Like, it is, like, I might even say the second best Predator movie.
Behind the first one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, it's good.
Yeah, so even, you know, yes, it's lower budget. You know, you talked about the CGI bear and stuff like that, but it didn't take me out of the film at all. Like, it was good enough.
I thought it took me out for a moment, but then it just got better.
Yeah, and I think that worked. You know, they got past that, and they just went back to, you know, Predator on woman action.
Whoa. Watch what you said there, buddy.
Yeah. So, yeah, on Hulu, I thoroughly enjoyed that. And that's another great, again, we just talked about, like, just so many movies that, you know, a couple anyways, that went straight to streaming that are, dude, totally could have been in the movie theater, man.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
We should have a sub podcast. This should have been in theaters.
Yeah. Like, I don't know what's going on, but they're hitting their stride, man. They're figuring their shit out.
It's people have spent almost a year and a half locked up inside their homes going stir crazy and now being creative, and people are buying into it. So thank you for buying into it.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see a Samurai Predator.
Dude. I hope you're right, and they start continuing down that, you know, taking different eras. So, Prey, do a free subscription to Hulu, you know, for like 7 days. You can do that little trial and watch that. So, there you go.
Love it. Recommendation. Like I said, I've been watching a lot of wrestling documentaries, and A&E, like, for some weird reason, A&E decided to, like, double down on the history of WWE. So
yeah,
I was like, why not?
You have a favorite one
right now? It's WWE Evil, and it's the history behind, like, the villains in wrestling and the story behind the Undertaker and Kane being the Brothers of Darkness was just so freaking cool.
Showing, like, behind the scenes, like, on how they develop these characters, or are they just telling you what their fictional, you know, realities are? I guess I'm confused on what's going on.
The Brothers, the Undertaker and Kane one is a mix of both, because the WWE's done a really good job of hiding the Undertaker's, like, real life and still keeping him, like, this persona, and they did that for many years.
Dude, I think I vaguely know who the guy was, but I remember growing up and, like, who is this guy? You have no idea who this person is.
He was the Undertaker.
Yeah, that's all you knew.
He was there to snatch your soul. They were talking about how they would do months of promos without him saying a word.
Really?
Yeah, like, and wrestlers talk. They love to hear themselves talk.
Mm-hmm.
But the Undertaker just didn't talk. All he did was walk out, do a wrestling move, and walk away. And, like, and then when they added Kane as his brother and had the whole story arc that he burned him alive in the house and came back to murder him, like, dude, this is, if you take wrestling out of the equation, this is a good storyline.
Well, that's why they try to make movies.
You said a key word, try.
Yeah, try. I should watch these documentaries, but, like, I don't know. Are these guys still alive? Like, I mean, are they getting interviewed?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, like you'll see Undertaker, he's sitting down talking about how he started his career in WCW and they didn't like him and they didn't utilize his character properly. Meanwhile, WWE had this idea of a character and they found Mark and were like, here you go. This is going to be you. And it's just like, okay. And then, you know, Kane is, if you look up Kane's history, he's a mayor of Knoxville, Tennessee right now.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
But in the wrestling years, they were trying to find a character that would fit him. And there was at one point where he replaced another character because they fucked up a contract or something. And then they repackaged him as the Undertaker's little brother and like decided to just go balls out with it. You know, it's like they almost needed Manscaped to like hone him back in.
Probably seems yeah. about right.
But I mean, not just a Kane and the Undertaker, but like you got to see Sasha Banks as a wrestler that she's Snoop Dogg's cousin. Never knew that.
Wow.
So Snoop Dogg has a cousin in wrestling, you know, and it's just interesting to see, like, you can sit back and say, yes, wrestling is fake. But when you watch this stuff, they are just, it's storytelling, and storytelling at its finest. It has its peaks and valleys, but at the end of the day, dude, they're just creating good, wholesome action with
wholesome.
Now, but good. I mean, they're just doing, at some point, they were just doing whatever they can to get ratings, you know?
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, that's what it's about, dude.
Like, I'm amazed by it. I mean, in these docuseries, I mean, more money to them.
Dude, A&E is doing the docuseries. It's not like their own produced thing. It's like A&E, like, we used to watch the history of, like, World War II on A&E, you know?
Now the history of wrestling.
Now the history of the Undertaker. <That's crazy. laughs> You know?
Yeah. I know there's one that you mentioned this before on the show. It's just, what was the one with like the guy is on an airplane or something and I don't know. Like I have the YouTube like doc the thing like saved like in my watch later. Like I need to watch it. Do you know what I'm talking about? Some crazy just air flight and just a crazy story of this guy on it.
Oh, it was it wasn't Chris Jericho, but it was with Vince McMahon and they just got wasted and started fighting on the airplane or something.
Yeah, I need to watch that.
the plane ride from, and that's on Dark Side of the Ring. The one thing that they haven't really touched on in any of these series, because it's controlled by the WWE, is the amount of drug use, steroids, basic sexual assault. Like, it was insane.
I'm not surprised by all that, because, I mean, they probably thought they could get away with murder.
Oh, dude, there are a bunch of alpha males who are just jacked up on cocaine and Mountain Dew, and like their days would consist of them going and practicing and staging their night, and then when they're done, they're bruised and battered, so they go to the local bars and get hammered and do it all over again every single week.
Wow.
It was insane. So
yeah. Well, cool. I need to check that out. You have got me engaged in it.
I also know someone who would watch that with you, Peter.
Oh yeah, maybe this weekend. So
you're like, thanks, you know, everyone, we're watching wrestling documentaries.
That's right. Thanks everyone for listening. It's been real, and we will catch you on the
flip side.